question in case some of these vendors take a little additional time to send their billing in.
So this is Margie, and to speak to that, Wayne, my understanding is yes, they do extend the time so that as long as the services are rendered between June 1st and June 30th. But again, this is Muriel's program. This is not, and it's federally funded. It's not our BSBE program. So unfortunately, she's not here to really answer those questions. And I apologize that I don't have the answers for those.
This is Wayne. No, that's helpful. Thank you. Typically, that is how it works, but occasionally there are some programs that have that immediate cutoff. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I will just note that...
Chris is that, speaking.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes, it's Chris again. And I will note that... Muriel did report that on April 4th, they returned 22,800 to the feds on the theory that those would be available for reallocation to other states. So, but and Muriel, as Margie said, is at a day-long BRS event, so I will... get that information and we'll report on it at the next meeting.
Okay, so this is Hannah Tucker, your chair. We can now move on to the expenditures through April 30th. I apologize, I skipped over the tech act. So now we can go into the expenditure for April 30th, 2023, please.
Yeah, and I could, I'll happily give a report that was prepared by our fiscal services folk for the period ending April 30th. So this is actually a 10-month report of expenditures, and it was sent out in the initial packet of information that accompanied the agenda and the minutes from the prior meeting. And so the vendor names, if you're looking at the initial document, are listed in column A, and the amounts paid year to date in column B. So American School for the Deaf, which represents interpreter services, I believe through Source. I'm not totally sure.
That would be Source.
$4,026 expenditures paid reimbursed to Communication Advocacy Network, $70,759.59. The third line item is Cosign, Connecticut LLC, also interpreter services, I believe, $1,100. We have our Braille vendor, Michelle Clark, $5,099.97. NWI.
I'm sorry, could you repeat the Braille?
Sure.
I missed the Braille.
Yeah. Sure. Five for Michelle Clark, the Braille vendor training clients with deaf blindness, $5,099.97. And NWI Global, I believe that's CART services, $1,092. Connecticut Institute for the Blind, a community inclusion vendor for $3,456. United Cerebral Palsy of Eastern Connecticut, another vendor for community inclusion services to one particular client, $3,704.19. New England Low Vision, which is equipment and training, $4,581.32. And Elizabeth Hilton, Inc., the guardian for an individual client, $2,872.19. So the total expenditures for the third quarter plus the month of April, $96,691.26. And now Margie is also providing me with additional information that she just gathered overnight, literally, by surveying both UCP and CAN for outstanding invoices that are in the process of that are in process. UCP has also billed $719.63, and CAN has billed $9,632.37. So I'll do some lightning mathematics here, and we have okay, an additional yes, $10,352, which would bring us just over $107,000. Now, these are so this is the final week of processing payments for the state. And if these payments go through as we hope they will, that would, as I say, bring us just over $107,000.
Yeah. And this is Margie speaking. I am still waiting for CAN to submit their final invoice for from June 1st until June 12th, because the cutoff is this week for fiscal. So I'm just waiting for the services that are provided from CAN from June 1st until June 12th.
This is Carol. I would like to make a comment. So June 30th is the end of the state fiscal year. However, the state of Connecticut, they have a hard cutoff for any purchases invoices to be done, and they totally lock down the accounting system. And so that's why this Friday is the deadline. It's not a BSBY thing. It is a state of Connecticut system, and it's a hard cutoff. So for the last 2 weeks of June, we can't do anything in our accounting system.
This is Margie. Thank you for that explanation, Carol. I appreciate it.
And this is Carol again. Chris, since we have Andrew Norton, our legislative liaison, he has to leave. So if we could address anything with the statute while he's here, that would be great.
So having I don't know if there are any questions on the expenditure report. We could easily postpone the budget recommendations from the Client Service Plan Review Committee and the vote on the examination of the budget. And Andrew, do you have anything that you'd like to contribute before you have to leave?
I don't have any planned things. I can say that there were, and I don't know if this is the right time, but there were some bills regarding deafness in the General Assembly, but they didn't move forward. Some of them were pretty expansive and novel ideas. One was to expand and ensure greater deaf access in healthcare settings. That none of the bills I'm describing became law, but in case people were tracking them, that did not become law. There was a rather expansive bill to have our agency provide hearing tests and hearing aids for people over 65 who may not have insurance that covers hearing aids. That would have cost quite a, we couldn't even tell how much money that would cost. That didn't pass. There were a couple of bills regarding assistance dogs, service dogs, one to require that health insurance would cover them. That did not pass. One that would require ambulances to allow a service dog. I don't know, by the way, if they never do. Maybe some of them do now. But it would have required a service dog to be allowed in an ambulance with his owner. That did not pass. There was a bill to mandate coverage, greater coverage in health insurance for cochlear implants. And they really weren't doing a lot of insurance mandate bills this year, and they didn't do that one. There was a bill to require instruction in ASL in schools. And I think that would have, you know, been a big educational mandate expansion. But in any case, it did not pass. And so there's a half a dozen bills there that touched on people who are deaf, people who are out of hearing, and people with service dogs, which include the deaf, if not as many as in the blind community. But those bills did not pass, so I thought I'd give you that report. But the budget for ADS is still strong, and money for this program is renewed for community living and what have you. The money that you guys advise us on spending, that is still there in the upcoming budget. So that's good. And I just want to make that report. And the statute stays the same, which tells us not to spend more than $10,000 on any one person when it comes to community living. Of course, a person who's deaf or deafblind can be a VR client or receive O&M or rehab teaching. But when it comes to community inclusion, the $10,000 cap is still in place. There were some people who were suggesting it should be raised, but that did not happen. It is still $10,000. So that's still your guidepost in making these decisions. So that's my report. Of course, I would take any question and maybe have an answer.
This is Carol Andrew. I have a question. It's for community integration, right? You said community living, but it's community integration.
Oh, I'm sorry. Community inclusion.
I'm sorry.
If I say, maybe because Alvin brought up community living and he put that term in my brain. But I meant to say the word in the statute is community inclusion. And thank you for correcting me. That was wrong.
And this is Carol. My second clarification is you mentioned the training and things, and that falls under adult services that would be provided. That doesn't fall under the statute, correct? Like O&M, Braille, you know, that doesn't.
Yes. And the statute actually says notwithstanding other services that may be provided. So if someone got as I read it, and I think this is tradition, Chris, correct me, if someone got an O&M instruction or a rehab teaching visit, or of course spent some time with one of our social workers, we wouldn't chalk those dollars up against the community inclusion $10,000.
Right. All of the adult services staff direct contact hours with clients are never charged to, you know, we use existing agency resources to cover those, and we never have ever sought reimbursement from, you know, for any program services.
That doesn't count against the $10,000, and nor would the VR services if someone was a VR client.
Well, this is Carol, but we shouldn't be using the deafblind funds, that's what I'm going to call it, for rehab teaching, skills training.
I think I didn't speak well at all. This account for community inclusion has a $10,000 cap. and you may use those funds in any number of imaginative ways towards community inclusion. But that is just a separate reality of BSBE services, and usually contracted services, than it is for the staff services we provide for all of our clientele who are blind or deaf blind. That $10,000 in the account that that you guys advise the agency on spending stands outside of anything else that we do on a normal daily basis in VR or adult services. Just that's a separate world.
Right. Yeah, so this is Carol again. I was just pointing that out because when Chris, you know, when we give the financial report, there were deafblind funds used for Braille training and some technology training and things that probably shouldn't have been used. And so we just need to make sure that when we're moving forward July 1 with the new funds, that we need to make sure adult services funds and stuff are being used for those things and not the deafblind funds, to allow more money for deafblind consumers for community inclusion.
That makes a lot of sense, and it makes sense to clarify that. Thank you, Carol. If no one has any questions for me, I'll stay on until I need to get in the car and drive to the doctor, but I've got a few more minutes.
I mean, if we want to return to, I just wanted to give anyone who might have been wondering during the last several minutes about some aspect of the financial report, the opportunity to, consider asking a question about the report on expenditures to date in the current fiscal year.
This is Al. I do have a request. Before we make this budget spreadsheet part of the record, I would ask that Michelle's name be redacted from it.
Got it.
I'm sorry, can anyone hear me? I'm not getting any
feedback. Yes, I'm sorry. Okay. Recognized. Thank you.
Okay.
Al, this is Margie. Do you have another question? Because your hand is up.
I do not. Thanks, Margie.
Okay. So Wayne has his hand up.
Yeah, this is Wayne Seidel. First, thank you so much for putting this together and getting it out to us in advance and offering some analysis. That's really helpful. My question is where it says, you know, interpreter services, for an example, for the American School for the Deaf. It shows how much it was paid out. I'm just curious how much was allocated. I think I see the proposed allocations from the beginning of the year on some of these, such as the Connecticut Institute for the Blind, but other ones don't have the allocation. And the reason I'm asking is just because of the next exercise that we'll be doing as we're projecting next year's budget and trying to figure that out. And that might be helpful information.
Thank you, Wayne. And this is Chris again, and I'm happy to respond to that because I took the document that Carol had requested fiscal prepare. And they were able to give us the first month of the final quarter of the year's expenditures included. So this was actually through April 30th. And it's as far into the year as they could go at the time that this was requested. Between that time and when we received it, I think was just about a week ago. There were five of those entries under vendor name actually were attached to contracts with amounts. That would be both the Communication Advocacy Network and CIB, or Connecticut Institute for the Blind, otherwise known as Oak Hill School. There are three other contracts for community inclusion services, United Cerebral Palsy of Eastern Connecticut, Deaf, Elizabeth Hilton, and one contract that was not included on, but that's listed on the revised budget worksheet as under Stephanie Sessions. That's because there was, I'll explain that in a moment. The other entries represent and Michelle Clark was also, I guess, attached to a contract for both Braille instruction and some work that Michelle does for the Tech Act in another program that's combined in her contract as a vendor with the state. Those are, I guess you'd have to say, the American School for the Deaf and COSIGN, which are interpreter services, and NWI Global, which is CART, and the New England Low Vision, that is equipment and training. Those were not actually budgeted line items. Those were expenditures out of unallocated funds from the prior year. I should say from this current year. For whatever reason, we did not project or attach, dollar amounts. We basically left the balance of the grant unallocated. That's why there is no, what we had to deal with in making this financial report was the figures that FISCO had gathered for amount paid year to date through April 30th for all of these line items that they had identified and created. So as I say, five of those line items were for community inclusion services. Again, that's CAN, CIB, United Cerebral Palsy, Elizabeth Hilton, and in the worksheet that that was sent out with the work of the client service plan review team, Stephanie Sessions added in, because that was a contract for which, for whatever reason, no funds were expended in this current year. So it's understandable that perhaps the new staff at FISCO did not necessarily include it, but there were in fact five contracts, and I can go over those amounts, but the answer basically is that there was roughly $50,000 that was unallocated, and those were the funds that were used to pay for interpreters and other communication services and for equipment and training for a client with a particular need that emerged during the current year.
Chris, this is Margie. If I can speak to one of those line items about, so New England Low Vision, I have a client who is deafblind who only communicates using a Braille device. to be able to communicate with that individual, the device that he was using with that was provided through the Connecticut TEP app, they cannot teach staff or anyone else to use the device. It's only specifically for the client to be taught. But they were not, and they can only use it for telecommunications purposes. So this individual only communicates using a Braille device. So there was no ability for the Connecticut Tech Act to be able to train the individual to use it as a one-on-one device to be able to communicate. So the that particular device was used, like that money was used for a vendor to go in and to teach the individual how to use the device, and then teach the conservator how to communicate with the individual, also for that individual to be able to talk to their staff. Because the Connecticut Tech Act, it is a federal program, it is only specifically for telecommunications. They cannot teach the individual to use the device with a staff member as a one-on-one device. So it was really, I'm very grateful that that money was there, because we were able to use that funding and use it to have this person be able to communicate. And I've been able to communicate with that individual, and they've been thrilled that they can actually communicate now with me. We have a one-on-one that and it's been amazing to see that person come out of their shell, because they had no one to communicate with and their devices kept breaking. So this was really pivotal that money was there to be able to fund that.
And just because Margie didn't mention this, but I want to stress that this individual was living in a skilled nursing facility. So he had an especial need to communicate. When Margie says the staff working with him, she's referring to somebody who had been placed in by the court system in a in a skilled nursing facility, and was in significant need of being able to communicate with the staff, and so that's it was especially useful to have this this funding available. And it turned out that the need was able to be met by
by the unallocated funds.
Yeah, just a little under $46,000 represented some additional equipment, but also a considerable amount of training that facilitated the individual's ability to. You know, his quality of life within a skilled nursing facility. So,
if you could spotlight Katie, please.
Whoops. Is Katie spotlighted now?
Not yet.
Oh, sorry. I have Kelly spotlighted. Sorry. Okay.
This is Wayne Seidel. Just wanted to say thank you for that additional explanation. I understand everything that was presented at this point. And just one other comment. It looks as though thus far, through the end of April, and then with the little bit of information that was also provided today, roughly 42% of the allocated funds for this year have been spent. I believe that is better than in recent years. So it's a sign that, we're emerging from the pandemic. There are more people going out doing things. There are more, there's more staffing perhaps available, though we know that that continues to be a real challenge. Staffing in many human service agencies and settings. So hoping that we get even more use of these valuable funds next year. So, thank you.
This is Chris again. If the chair would like, if there's no questions on the expenditures report.
Sorry, this is Margie. There is a question. I'm just going to switch over the spotlight to Lisa has a question.